Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Are you ready to reshape your mindset and grow your solo cleaning business? Step into today's class with your guide, Ken Carfagno, so you can win for your family.
Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. I have a fun episode for you with some great lessons. And I'll tell you, this episode, A Time to Laugh, I think will really touch the hearts of many of you out there. It touched mine. That's why I wanted to share it. I've just gone through a really difficult time period where I lost my Nana, and I shared that in my past episode entitled It Was All a Blur. And right there, smack dab in the middle between her passing and her funeral, I had an escape with my son to our first ski trip together. So let's do a funny papers edition with some real positive takeaways from it. My son's birthday was back in December, and we had planned to make this birthday an experience to go on our first ski trip together. I had been telling Kenny that when I was 13, I went on a ski trip with my father for the first time. I got out of school and I got to ski with my dad to Jack Frost and Big Boulder Mountains and the Poconos. It was awesome. We went back again the next year on my birthday. My stepdad actually took over and he took me on ski trips on my birthday, probably through the age of 17 or 18. It was a tradition and I wanted to carry that through to my own son. So we had planned this in December. We were going to go in January, and then that kind of got pushed back, and then we went to February, and eventually we picked a date, February 25th. This all went down before anything with my Nana. So here it is, it's the 22nd, we lose my Nana, the funeral's on March 2nd, right smack dab in the middle, ski trip, February 25th. What do we do? Well, in talking to my wife Teresa, she's like, just go. The trip's already paid for. It'd probably be good for you to get out. Just go, you and Kenny. And I just thanked her and we jumped in the pilot and we left. It was a great time. We had so much fun. By the time we got the rentals and we're on the mountain, I mean, we started on the green circles, little bunny trails. And sometimes the hardest thing for a new skier is just getting on and off the ski lift, right? You know, if you have kids and you're trying to teach them. Kenny was natural. As far as his athletic ability, he's good at rollerblading. I figured he could pick it up quick. And so in the very early going, I did some video, not too proud of myself, but I definitely captured him in the act of falling, and it was funny. It was great. Seeing my 15-year-old wipe out was awesome. And even better, seeing him not be able to get back up because he couldn't figure out how to do that. That was awesome. Or not being able to get onto the ski lift well. Now, Kenny is the editor of this show, so I'm curious what he leaves in and what he does not. Anyway, back to the funny story. We had a great time. We goofed off. He did get a little bit better. We moved up from the green circles to the intermediate blue squares, and we started taking the longer chair lifts. We had some great conversations on the lift, and every time that he would fall, I would laugh. But for the most part, I was just out on the slopes. I hadn't been skiing in 10 years, and I was amazed that I could still do it. I had torn meniscus in both knees in the past 8 years, and I was curious if it would bother me. But my knees had strengthened up quite a bit. It hasn't been a problem, and skiing was not hard. I was able to do all of the slopes. I could even hit some of the black diamonds. But I would tell you that there's many times I'm waiting for my son, because I shoot down to the next kind of pass, and he would take his time and traverse down the hill, and I ended up having a lot of time. The day was overcast, temperatures in the 50s, it was pretty nice in February, and drizzling on and off, so it was pretty empty. It was really a perfect day. And for the most part, it wasn't raining that much, so while I was waiting for Kenny to catch up to me, I would just stand on the slope and looking up in the sky. I'd be thinking about my Nana, I'd be crying, I'd be smiling. A lot of emotions happening, and I'd see my son wipe out, I'd be laughing. But breathing in that fresh mountain air, seeing the evergreens painted against the mountains in the distance, I mean, it was gorgeous. It was so therapeutic to get out there on the slopes. I was so thankful that I was able to go. And to spend the day with my son made it priceless. Around 4 o'clock, we parted ways with Jack Frost and went over to Big Boulder, which is for night skiing. all under the same lift pass. They're connected resorts. It was great, but it was also empty. Like, are we supposed to be here? A couple lifts are shut down. A couple of the slopes are open. So let's just hit what we can. Hit the intermediates. I was able to do a couple diamonds. And then they have these runs called fun parks. Now, they're new since I skied 10 years ago. By the way, I'm so old at skiing, it's been so long, that I still thought straight skis were the newbies. So they corrected me and said, no, the measurements of the straight ski is no longer applicable. These are the new skis. And so I did much better on the new skis, I will admit. Anyway, back to this fun park. Essentially, it's for snowboarders. They had these little wicked half pipes and rails and all kinds of cool tricks you can do. And they got these platforms. They're about 12 to 15 feet. You ski up the one side or snowboard up the one side. And then there's about a 10 by 10 platform that you're supposed to jump over and land on the back side of this jump. Now, going down these runs, Kenny didn't quite have the courage yet to do a lot of the jumping. He just wanted to continue traversing and getting the basics, the fundamentals down. It was great. First day, he was doing fantastic. And of course, I'm hitting all the little jumps. Nothing crazy. I don't do any daffies or any kind of weird spread eagle kind of moves. I just do a jump, get a little bit of air, feel good about myself, just try and stay on my skis. And then I get to the bottom of the slope and I go up that big snowboard platform. I hit it. I get to the platform on top and I stop. And then I just ski down the other side and I go down to the lifts. And so we did this a few times and I encouraged, well, I egged on really, Kenny, to try and come up that final 12, 15 foot snowboard jump. And I did it. I went down to the bottom of the hill waiting at the ski lift. And I see Kenny come trucking down. And he gets himself up on top of that ramp. And he inches himself forward to the other side, about to go down. And he stares. 15 feet's a long way down. He inches a little bit forward. He looks down. And then he inches a little bit back. He's looking up. He's looking down. He's looking at me. He's looking side to side. Who's watching me? Am I going to do this? And then he inches a little bit back. And I start laughing a little bit now because I'm watching this unfold. I'm not sure what he's thinking, but he's up on this platform 15 feet up in the air. And the only way to get down is either to go down the ramp, go up the way you came, both of which involve going down a hill, or he has to climb down on the side. As you can see where I'm going with this. My son, in all of his courage, did his best. He attempted to get on the front, but he just couldn't muster the courage. And just watching him checking himself and watching in all directions, and then eventually just stepping off the side of the ramp and climbing his way down, I absolutely started laughing. And it wasn't the kind of laugh as when he wiped out before. There was some kind of a belly laugh, just deep from within, that I had not experienced in a long time. This belly laugh just came like a volcano. It just erupted out of me. And I was leaning over, bending over, holding my stomach, and just cracking up. And all this energy came out. All this emotion came out in the form of laughter. And when I was finally done, I look up. Kenny's ready to get on the lift. And I can tell you that all the grief and the crying and the other emotions that are on the other side of the spectrum that I was dealing with for the last 3 to 4 days and most of the day while even at the ski resort, it all wiped away. That belly laugh, that emotion of pure, unadulterated, hilarious laughter completely healed the grief and the depression and the sadness that I was experiencing for those last couple days. I couldn't believe it. I was so thankful to my son for that laugh because in his chickening out to go down that ramp, it healed me of so much pain. So Kenny, I know that you're editing this podcast. Thank you for making a goof of yourself so that I could be healed of all the pain I was in. Thank you, son. I love you. Okay, let's return here. I've got two lessons that I want to extract from this ski trip. The first one, let's go back to that funny story and to my son drawing out a belly laugh. I want to share a quote from King Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, King Solomon wrote this: "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. King Solomon is known as the wealthiest and wisest man in history. Rulers of his day, like the queen from Sheba, would visit him from afar, lavish him with gifts, just to hear him speak. I have read these verses from Ecclesiastes hundreds of times and always wondered why Solomon ordered these life events and seasons the way he did. There's even a song by the Birds, right? There is a season, turn, 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 right? But with his immense wisdom, Solomon had a point to the order. That belly laugh that I experienced was the polar opposite emotion of the utter grief I've been experiencing. It totally recentered me and it brought me tremendous healing. That's why Solomon in verse 4 says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. They contrast each other. Look at the next one, a time to mourn and a time to dance. They contrast each other. Solomon was contrasting two extreme emotions, weeping and depression and grief and utter sadness, which I had never known to this level with my Nana passing, to complete belly aching laughter, the other side of the spectrum. I hadn't experienced a laughter like that in at least a week with all the pain we've been going through. So there's definitely an order, and Solomon in all of his wisdom knew it. Now the second lesson is really fun as well. We had lots of time on those ski lifts because they take, 10, 12 minutes or something for each time up, 5 minutes down, 12 minutes up. But what was so cool is that it's a dreary February day, as I already mentioned. It's night skiing, and we felt like we owned the mountain. There was like no one there. I mean, the cafeteria wasn't even open at the night skiing place. A couple of the lifts were closed. Many of the slopes were closed. We just did whatever we could. And going up those lifts, what I was amazed by, both of us were, you could see our tracks, our traversing tracks in the trail. Actually, the fun park trail was the one right next to the ski lift. So we just kept hitting that lift over and over again. And you could see our treads, our ski treads from the last run. In fact, you could see our treads from the prior three runs. That's how few people were on the slopes, because we could see our own trails not touched by other humans, and we're the ones running over our own trails. I'd never skied in a situation like this. It was awesome. Totally empty. We had the mountain to ourselves. At one point, I asked the ski lift attendant, I said, "Boy, not a lot of people here tonight, huh?" And he said back, "Yeah, you guys got lucky. Not many people is right. There's only 26 people here tonight." I said, 26? And obviously he would know that he works there. I guess they track how many people buy lift tickets and coming over in the rental shop. So 26 people. And I'm thinking about that on the way up. 26 people at this entire resort, this big resort for the entire night. So I started talking numbers with Kenny because he's a little entrepreneur. He understands business. I've shown him how to start his own first business. He does the stock market. He runs a company. He works with me in the family business. So I teach him lessons whenever I can. It's vital for me to impart what I'm helping you do, impart that to my own son. Plus, he's my editor, so he listens to all my podcasts. So he's definitely getting the mindset. And here's what we talked about. I said, "Kenny, this is a great way to understand fixed operating expenses of a business." He says, "Okay, Dad, explain." I said, "Let's just do an example. Let's say that the average skier brings in $100 in revenue for the day." And that's a fair guess. Some skiers need rentals and a lift pass. Some have their own skis. Some just need to get some food and a lift pass. But all in all, $100 was a fair guess. I said, "Kenny, how much do you think it costs just to open the doors and open this resort for one night?" He had no idea. So I guessed again. I said, "Well, let's guess it's around $5,000. And then probably is a decent guess. You got to bring the full staff in, your instructors, your medical, your food folks, your attendants for the rental shop, the people running the ski lifts. Even though you're closing stuff down, there are still probably 50 employees there on site. Plus you got all the power and the snowmaking and the grooming. There's still things that have to go on and the lights. I mean, there is a lot that has to happen for a ski resort to run for one day. And this wasn't a huge place. So it could be $10,000, but I guessed $5,000. And we did some math. So Kenny, how many skiers does it take just to break even for this particular ski lodge?" And he did the numbers. It was easy. $100 a day, $5,000 to run it. That would be 50 skiers. I said, "Exactly. How many skiers were here tonight?" 26, Dad. I said, "What's that mean?" "Wow, Does that mean they lost money? That's exactly right. This is a big business, and they need to have at least 51 skiers to make a profit. I shared some other examples. How about the grocery store? It costs a lot of money to run that business. You think it takes more than one person to make a profit? Yeah, Dad. It probably takes 50 as well. How about a Walmart? How many people need to be shopping inside of a Walmart every day before they break even? Or how many dollars in sales do they have to make? And so that's what fixed expenses is. No matter how many people show up, just to turn the business on for the day, it's going to cost this much money. Fixed expenses, it's always the same. That's why it's fixed. Now, variable expenses is based on the number of people and all the other variable expenses. But we're just talking fixed. I said, now, Kenny, I run a solo cleaning business. I believe this is one of the best business opportunities in the world. And here's why. You can make some outstanding profit. You can have a great flexible schedule. You serve people. I can come skiing with you. And the overhead, the fixed expenses, is almost nothing. In fact, I can have all of my expenses to run my cleaning company. And all I need to fund those expenses is one cleaning job in 1 month. That's it. If I get one cleaning job in a month, it pays for all my expenses. So therefore, if I get two cleaning jobs in a month, I'm making profit. That is extremely rare, and it's why the cleaning business, often overlooked as a great business, is one of the most profitable businesses out there. And if you don't have employees, you stay solo, now it's even more profitable. Now, I'm not saying you should never hire people. Don't ever get me wrong in this podcast. I think that solo cleaning is for one type of person and team cleaning is for another type of person. And I'm involved in the cleaning industry and I help both. But going back to the story with Kenny, the takeaway was really solid. He learned the lesson, fixed expenses. It takes so much to run a business and it made him truly consider what kind of business he would want to have. And I'm going to just clap and applaud for all of you that are considering starting your own solo cleaning company, or you already run one. This is an awesome business. You have made a great choice.
Thank you for listening to Solo Cleaning School. Class is dismissed.